Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, he is Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
Listen,
it's a dimly lit room where deep up in the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications compound. And hey, everybody, today we are under the tutelage of our general manager.
Idiotic racial narratives.
Idiotic racial narratives is our general manager. That's not a person that can go ask for a raise.
No, it's not. It's difficult having a concept as your general manager. It makes the whole sending memos back and forth thing very cumbersome. You want a person, do you? You're demanding a person. You're going chest to chest with me and saying, give me a person. Durr. Who's the mayor of Atlanta?
Better.
How about, you can just say the mayor of Atlanta. That would be better for me anyway, since I wouldn't know the name if you said it.
That's a good point. And if, you know, I said it, we'd both forget it anyway. The mayor of Atlanta, then.
Yeah.
Who doesn't appreciate terrorism in that city?
Yeah, I haven't been following that story, and it seems you have, so I look forward to hearing about that.
Well, you have to look for it.
Oh, yeah?
If you have two Oath Keepers, push somebody and say, get out of my way, it's national news for 6 weeks. You got lefty rioters torching Atlanta over their bizarro unhappiness. It's just, you got to look for it. You got to seek it out.
So the Oscar nominations just came out about a half hour ago, and I'm sure we'll mention them at some point. But two interesting things about that. One, Everything Everywhere All at Once is the only movie I've seen in the last 13 years, and it is the one that leads the Oscar nomination, so I'm excited about that. I've seen one movie in over a decade, and it turned out it's nominated for a bunch of stuff, so I can actually act like I know what I'm talking about.
But very exciting. How'd you like it?
It's very confusing. It's a tour de force, but it's confusing. It's hard to understand what's going on, but it's quite amazing. It's got like Matrix vibes. I mean, you know, that sort of just... but it speaks to the modern era, Everything All at Once, All the Time, or whatever the title is, that sort of life, that just the way, you know, the way it feels to be alive in the modern era. But one thing I expect, do you remember after, so the Super Bowl, whatever that was, 25 years ago, where Justin Timberlake bared Janet Jackson's nipple. The yes. next Super Bowl halftime
show. The nipple
show.
That shook America.
Exactly. Teet. So the next year, to make sure that sort of thing never happens again, they had, like, you know, the Marines on guard and a 1 hour delay and all these crazy, and everybody had to sign a form. And I wonder what the Oscars are going to be like this year after the slap that brought America to its knees from Will Smith. What the overreaction will be at the Oscars this year. It'll probably be hilarious as they go way overboard the other direction, having given a standing ovation to a guy who attacked a coworker.
Well, first of all, the very mention of the Oscars made me throw up in my mouth. Secondly, the fact that one man beat another is the only reason I'm willing to discuss this. So I think the Oscars, they have two choices. Number one, like, have an 8-year-old girl be the MC, so that nobody with a living soul would possibly assault the little lass. And or have, I don't know, who's the heavyweight champion of the world? Or an MMA fighter of surpassing skill. So if Will Smith decides to whoop somebody's ass, he ends up getting his jaw broken.
Everybody who walks on stage should have to have, like, some MMA bodyguards or something at their side, looking around.
Well, everybody's got to have a big old posse, like it's rappers.
Right.
You know, which reminds me of, you know, back in the day, back when radio ranches actually had full staffing, which is a while ago now, and there are multiple radio stations in every radio ranch, including in urban areas. We worked in and for a handful of them, and they had to have locked doors, like at the end of every hallway, into every room. It was like an armed camp. You had to, you know, use your pass to unlock locks every 15 steps. And it was so that if they had different rappers in the building, their posses wouldn't kill each other. They wouldn't shoot each other or fight. They had to be kept apart. If one was over at, you know, Urban Hits 103 and the other was at Hot Hits 97 or something like that, it had to be an armed camp.
Yeah, we worked in radio buildings where you couldn't, like, go to the lunchroom without going through three locked doors where you had to use your key fob to get through.
Yeah.
This is really weird because of what Joe just described. Yeah, very odd. The fact that there was another mass shooting involving, with the shooter being an elderly Asian man, is really stunning.
Well, let's start with the questionable racial narratives now. Why are so many old Asian men full of hate? And was it mostly Asian victims again?
That I don't know this time around. The another mass shooting in California at the hands of an elderly Asian gentleman, which is just wild. I mean, is it purely coincidence that within 48 hours in the same state that you got two Asian guys around 70 years old murder a whole bunch of people? That's just coincidental? That just seems so weird.
Oh, that reminds me. We need to get a clip. Hanson, if you're listening, executive producer Mike Hanson, we need the clip of Gavin Newsom making a strong statement about this is America. We're supposed to lead the world. We need to do better, America, which is such a clever yet transparent political dodge. Gun laws are a state matter. County matters in some cases, but it is by far a question of what the state will do, you know, within the context of the Second Amendment, certainly. But so what Gavvy Boy is trying to do is trying to cloud over the fact that his state, which has some of the strictest gun laws in the nation, is now a veritable shooting gallery where people are getting gunned down over and over again. This is a super majority. Both houses of the legislature, Democratic state. It's a one-party state with a Democratic governor. Every single statewide office is held by Democrats who passed whatever gun laws they wanted, and it's a slaughterhouse. So what's Gavvy going to do? Claim it's not a California problem, it's an American problem.
So are you claiming it's something about California governance that has led to these two shootings, or just saying that your governance hasn't stopped these two shootings?
That one. The second one.
Yeah. Because when I hear the rest of the country media talking about the two shootings of the same state, I think they're 350 miles apart. If this were the Northeast, they'd be like five states apart.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, the narrative is always about, it's about laws. It's not about society. It's not about the murderous intent or mental health or anything like that. It's just we need more laws. Well, there are plenty of freaking laws in California.
But so again, though, is it just a coincidence that two, like, roughly 70-year-old Asian men did mass shootings in 2 days? I mean, that just seems so crazy that would happen just coincidentally. But I guess it is. I mean, there's no indication they're related in any way.
I mean, if there are like three more, let me know. I'm going to take appropriate measures.
Two seems like an awful lot, but yeah, you know, it's horrible that this is part of our, like you always talk about, it's in the air, it's in the water now for crazy people to think this is how I handle my craziness, this is how I handle my anger.
This is among the things I can do.
But so I tuned into the NBC Evening News last night, and sometimes they do a, because I'm on the West Coast, you know, we're watching on the West Coast, we get three-hour-old news. Every once in a while, if there's a big story, they'll do an update and do a live version, but they didn't. So Lester Holt was in Monterey Park, California, the L.A. area, for that mass shooting to try to talk about that, and I thought, hey, you might want to update your story because there's been another one just north of you that's probably more relevant to talk about now since it just happened an hour ago. I mean, that's really a troubling situation where the news organizations go to the big mass shooting to talk about it on the evening news and there's another one before they can do that broadcast.
Right. That mass shooting is so Sunday evening. Please get up to date. It's like giving 2 days ago's baseball scores.
That's rough.
Yeah, I'd say it is. I'd say, well, a bit of a diseased society.
Yeah, that is definitely rough. Anyway, we'll have more on that if there is any more to have on that. We should start the show officially. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. On this, it is Tuesday, January 24th, the year 2023. No donuts for me in 23. We are Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Okay, then, let's begin officially. According to FCC rules and regulations, we were all forced to study them for weeks at a time after the infamous nipple incident. It was grueling. Anyway, we're up on the rules and regs now. Let's begin at Mark.
Wisconsin State Rep. Francesca Hong, the same woman who repeatedly and wrongly called Kyle Rittenhouse a murderer, said, quoting, "We are broken as a nation to have mass shooting and white supremacy reign terror."
So what was that?
That was Trace Gallagher, Fox News, going through a bunch of tweets and headlines that were implying that it was obviously hate crimes against Asians that were at the root of the shooting in Monterey Park, California, the L.A. area, as many people on the left leapt to that conclusion. Yes.
Mm. Oh, before we knew who the killer was.
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Although, sir, please, you're like a child. Here, come on. Now that it turns out it's old Asian people killing a bunch of Asians, the answer is, well, it's internalized white supremacy. Self-hatred among BIPOC people is taught by white supremacy. So white supremacy is at the root of all violence against people of color, including of the same color.
Well, outside of having to have a political narrative for some reason, I'm just concerned that a contagion that seemed to be mostly limited to young men is now being expanded to older people and other groups. This is how we deal with our problems? That's not good. Now we're all going to get in on it. Everybody, hey, this is for everybody. How do you settle your problems? Oof.
Oof is right.
That's not good.
Yeah, angry middle-aged dudes were in on that party as well. Don't forget angry middle-aged dudes. Generally, that's a workplace thing.
Right.
But now old Asian guys, what's next?
How does male bag look?
Really attractive Hispanic women in their early 20s. Good Lord. Male bag is still taking shape, Jack. It's difficult to say. We'll be monitoring the situation.
There is an update on, is Ukraine going to get the tanks? And a bunch of other stories. Do you need to get another COVID shot? I can't believe that's even a story.
No, stop.
Coronavirus!
I can't believe that's even a story. Among other things, we'll talk about our text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
It is
is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show. Rise and shine,
and tell us something about you. It's above my pay grade, as they say. And I often hate when they say it. But it's, you know, it's too complicated for me or really anybody else to figure out the complexities of society. But we got a disease in our society. We have multiple diseases in our society. But the whole mass shooting disease is one of them. It's just, it's just depressing. I don't know how you get it out of the society either. Nobody knows. Yeah, nobody knows what started it, so nobody would know how to end it.
Well, I do, actually. But
gun laws is clearly the answer.
Oh, boy. Here's your freedom-loving quote of the day. Old Abe Lincoln. All of the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasure of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chest and with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. I think that's absolutely true. Link also said that, and I don't have it in front of me because, as usual, what he says is very eloquent. And I will ruin it by my ham-fisted, dopey paraphrasing. But there's no way an external power ever brings down the United States. If we shall pass from the earth, it will be by suicide. Which we're kind of working at, it would seem. But that's not to say it's permanent. We have gone as a people through so many ups and downs, so many positive trends, so many negative trends, so many periods where doom was predicted from all sides. But doom has not visited us, friends. And do you know why? If you do, let me know, because I don't. But we will not be doomed for reasons that I can't put my finger on. We'll do fine. Probably. Mailbag.
Woohoo!
Drop us a note, would you? You got to write them to get them, as they used to say. Mailbag at armstrongandgetty.com. Oh, here it is. Here's the Lincoln quote. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Holy cow, dude could turn a phrase. I wish Abraham Lincoln would drop us an email now and again. Here we go. I love this. Mark and Sack, Sacramento. Guys, the story about the school lights being unable to be turned off for a year and a half, whatever it was, remind me of my father-in-law's account. He had retired as a union plumber and was looking for part-time work to keep busy. He was hired as the main plumber at a local wealthy California school district. One of his first work orders said, "There's no hot water." After much investigation, he tracked down the problem. When the school had been built 5+ years earlier, a water heater room was completely enclosed by walls on all four sides with no door. The water heater was running beautifully, but had not been connected to any piping. The main explanation was that the district just didn't inspect the project. He later told me he'd never felt more like a wizard than when he worked there. KORB, keep on ridiculing bureaucracy. Yes, it was not only not connected to anything, it was enclosed in like a safe room with no entrance or exit. It was just in a tomb.
But didn't whoever installed that last wall think, I should ask somebody, this can't be what they want.
No, because it was on the plans and he didn't care. There is never more waste than when you're spending somebody else's money for somebody else, as the great old principle goes. And I was intending to get there. Four ways to spend money. Your own money on yourself, you're the most careful. Your own money on somebody else, you're almost as careful. Somebody else's money on yourself, well, it's their money. Somebody else's money on somebody else, nobody gives a crap, and waste is rampant.
If you miss an hour of the show, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand. More news and stuff on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I mean, the Second Amendment's becoming a suicide pact, it feels like. I mean, it's just, and that's the only question the community wants. How do you get, what about our kids when they're going to school? What more can we do? And, you know, again, we look at that all the time. I mean, we did another half dozen gun safety bills last year. We'll continue to find whatever loopholes we can. We continue to lead the national conversation on gun safety reform. And the data bears out it works. It saves lives. California's 37% lower gun death rate than the rest of the nation. And yet, with all that evidence, no one on the other side seems to give a damn. They can't get anything done with Congress.
That's the gravelly voice of the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, who is so clearly running for president. The second Joe Biden says he's not running for a second term. And
the governor of California apparently giving an interview in the passing lane of I-5.
Well, they're walking down the street with he's with Norm O'Donnell on the NBC Evening News. So that's some pretty big exposure. And that's after the first mass shooting of the last couple of days in California. He, you know, I'm sure he'll have more comments on the most recent mass shooting, which happened overnight with another elderly Asian man for some reason. But that first statement there, Gavin Newsom said, maybe you could, it was hard to understand where he said the Second Amendment has become a suicide pact. I think he's going to have to clarify that slash walk it back, as that's going to be in ads all across the country if he does run for president.
Yes. Yeah, it absolutely will be. During the inevitable part of a presidential campaign where you're running to the left as a Democrat, to the right as a Republican, it will serve him well. He will be the brave banner carrier for the idea of overturning the Second Amendment.
To be completely fair, though, what do you think he means by that? If I'm going to have a fair view of what he's trying to say, what does he mean the Second Amendment has become a suicide pact?
I think he would just say that because of the Second Amendment, we have way too many guns in America. It's way too easy to get guns.
Okay.
That would be his point of view. And as you've pointed out, it's almost shocking how little you've heard from the anti-gun left in particular about the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it hasn't been taken head on yet. Just as a, we got to get rid of the Second Amendment.
Yeah,
there are various, there are plenty of places in the country where you'd get a cheering crowd for saying that. I'm just surprised that hasn't happened yet. It'd be really hard to do, and it's not. And I don't advocate it, obviously, but I'm surprised that hasn't become a thing yet.
Not to get too far into the constitutional law weeds, and if you ever find yourself in the constitutional law weeds, be sure to check for ticks. But anyway, it's interesting that those who think there is a living constitution, and it means only what we want it to mean, and if we had changed our mind Tuesday and then again on Wednesday, what we decide on Wednesday is what the Constitution really means for right now. Them having to admit, yeah, if you want to like change what the Constitution says, you have to go through the amendment process. I wonder if there's a little hesitation on the left in that. But again, we're into the weeds and risk getting bit. So the latest, and we're not going to roll around in this and glorify it and make the shooter some sort of weird anti-hero, because we never do, but police arrested a 67-year-old man who they believe to be an immigrant from China, speaks only Mandarin, in connection with the shootings in Half Moon Bay, California, which is one of the more lovely parts of God's green earth. He was parked right outside a county sheriff's substation, San Mateo County, taken into custody without incident, fully cooperating. I watched the video of him being arrested. They said, essentially, get out of your car. He got out of the car and walked, and they put his hands behind him and cuffed him. Shootings took place Monday afternoon in Half Moon Bay. One of them was at a plant nursery where this guy worked, apparently. The other location is not clear for whatever reason. I'd heard originally it was two plant nurseries. This guy decided to kill some people. All the victims were adults, but some workers lived at the location of one of the shootings along with children. Okay, one was a home, I guess? Yeah, that's funny. This is bad writing. It doesn't make that clear. Anyway, So that's what happened. Well, God knows why this angry guy decided other people needed to die.
Well, it did happen yesterday afternoon, and if we're going to stick with our rule of everything you hear in the first 24 hours turns out to be wrong, a lot of that might not be true. I don't know, because it's amazing how often that happens. A whole bunch of things from the shooting on Sunday are different than what I was telling people on Sunday night, because it changes. I don't know what happens there. But anyway, I think your point is exactly right, that it's become part of our culture that if you're really pissed off at something, what you do is you go there and shoot a bunch of people. So right. One is I'm angry at my workers. The other one is I'm angry at my wife and my social group. Either way, mm-hmm. The way to solve that is to show up with a gun and shoot a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's a cultural norm. I mean, in Afghanistan, for instance, if you're angry at your wife, it is a cultural norm to beat her within an inch of her life. You can do that. That is one of your choices. And that's it's a choice that you will consider. I wouldn't think of that in a million years. If I came home and Judy was with the starting offensive line of the San Francisco 49ers in bed, I wouldn't lift my hand.
No, it wouldn't even cross
not
my
a chance.
Mind. Wouldn't even cross my mind. It wouldn't even
I might ask for a couple autographs, though.
I don't like that
hey,
joke.
Listen, all you out, on your way, though, I mean, you guys look so good. I mean, yeah, good luck against the Eagles. Can you sign this jersey?
Wow. The lighter side of...
Don't even.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, where were we? Getting back to the unspeakably serious topic at hand, you know, you can think of a dozen different examples of it. You have a dispute with a coworker. You know, it happens semi-routinely, right? What do you see as the list of things you might do you could do about that?
Even on the extreme level, though, if you're going to make a list of the most extreme examples, you know, you're going to run down the likely ones. But even if you're going to go with the most extreme ones, would that ever make the list?
Well, no for me, although
I don't think, you know. And I don't think for like 99.9% of people. I mean, even if I'm going to go with the most extreme version of I've got a problem at work, the most extreme version would be, you know, I quit and walk out with no plan, or I get in my car and, you know, move to another town. I mean, even if you're going to come up with like the most crazy things to do, none of them would include getting a gun and coming back and shooting people.
Well, and I would suggest, I mean, you can go a lot farther than that. You could punch your boss in the face, push his desk over.
I can't imagine even doing that.
And walk out. That's a million miles short of killing a bunch of people.
Sure.
And for most of us, even, you know, that act would be utterly, well, not only is it, morally reprehensible, but it's utterly self-damaging.
So now we're getting into some interesting psychology here.
Right.
So I have known people, unfortunately, and it's just absolutely horrible, that grew up in homes where, you know, dad hitting mom was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they often grow up to do the same thing. Or dad hitting the kids is a thing. And they mm-hmm. swear they're never going to do it, but they grow up and they do it themselves. Because I guess that's just like burned into your pathways of your brain as an option, like we were talking about. Whereas it's not for me. I didn't grow up in a household like that. So it just would never, ever, just it's just not a thing. So is that happening to us as a society? We're like a family. We're like someone who grew up in a household where hitting was okay. So it seems like it's on the table. Are we now a culture like that? We're
yes.
growing up in a culture where shooting is okay. We see it all the time. We saw, you know, dad come home and shoot up the workplace. So we just think that that's an option.
Yeah, the short answer is yes. The long answer is a little more complicated than that, because for some people, it's not part of what they could conceivably do. As you said, 99.9% of us. But what is the term from the world of psychology? I remember this making an impression on me as a kid. It wasn't script or was it schema or something? I can't remember. One of your terms about you have in your mind a menu... what's the right way to describe it? A vision of how to behave in various scenarios that you don't even think about. One is you're out with your buddies drinking, or the gals. It's a girls' night out. Two is you're in church. It's Sunday. You're in church. You know, another example might be you're visiting your grandmother in the old folks home. You don't have to list for yourself or think to yourself the different ways to behave, the words you can, the language you can use, what to wear. It's just, it's part of you. It saves time. You don't have to think it through every time. It's part of being a human being. You know, if it, you know, to stretch it further, if I'm walking on in some of the bad neighborhoods of Chicago, I know how to behave. It's just, it's all there. And in the situation you're talking about, violence and hurting people is on that list. And even if you're conscious of it and you think, I don't want that to be on my list, I don't want to be that person. When you are under stress or anger or terribly hurt or something like that, man, the conscious part of your brain often loses that battle. So, you know, where does that leave us as a society? You got a bunch of impressionable, young, troubled people thinking, you know, that's way at the end of the list, but it's on the list.
Well, like, so are my kids growing up with that in the back of their mind that that's an option?
Yeah.
In a way,
we didn't.
Yeah. Dang it. That's troubling.
Again, it's going to be a tiny, tiny number of people who ever act on it, but their victims will have their lives torn away, and the people that love them will be terribly, terribly wounded by that. It's sad.
And then, of course,
go ahead.
The next question, obviously, is how would you end this? You know, if this has become one of the options out there, how do we make it not an option anymore? I have no freaking idea.
You know, I have some really interesting stuff that's kind of only tangentially related to get to, but that's such an intriguing question. I remember reading about the growth and then the fading away of copycat, this, that, and the other. It can be killings. It can be fashion. It can be online something. And the science of how copycat killings, for instance, happen, or copycat suicides, is a terrible, horrible problem among adolescents. How it catches on is reasonably well understood now, but why it fades away is less understood.
Mm.
So it's not like we're doomed to be with this for the rest of the history of the United States, but how it goes away, I don't know.
Well, maybe it's like with the copycat suicide thing. Maybe it's just a small percentage of people that are susceptible to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Once they've all acted on it, you're done.
And then, you know, your efforts to intercede and talk to kids and people of good conscience sending messages, maybe that helps. Maybe it works eventually. It just slows down the pace. And if the pace of copycat slows, well, the number of copycats slow, I guess. I don't know. It's like going antiviral. How does that work? What's the reverse of going viral?
Well, I'll just tell you, though, that, man, I just was troubled by the idea that NBC Evening News was live in L.A. to cover a mass shooting, and another mass shooting not far away had happened before they could get that on the air. It's not good.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, it's crazy. Headline in the Wall Street Journal, are there too many Asians? I know.
That's a headline?
It is.
Are
it
there
is
too many Asians? Like where?
Yes. Or,
you got to give me some context.
Well, stay tuned if you want context. You don't just yell at me that you need context. You'll dance to my tune there, son. Context coming up.
I'll give
next.
You drips of context when you deserve it. The way that'll work.
Earn it.
Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I read that the world's worst McDonald's, which police were called to more than 800 times in 1 year, is permanently closing. On the bright side, they just changed the sign and now it's the world's best Waffle House.
So where is the world's worst McDonald's? Did he mention that in the joke?
No, he didn't. I'm trying to find
Google out. Google that. So visited by the police 800 times in a year? That's like more than twice a day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not possible, is it?
That's a rough hood. Yeah, sure.
It's the world's best Waffle House.
Ah, the Awful House, in line for so much guff. Boy, we don't have time for this. Well, I'll delve into it and we'll see how far we get. I love Bill McGurney, writes for the Wall Street Journal. It's an opinion piece entitled, "Are There Too Many Asians?" That's in quote. Like Marxism itself, population control was imported to China from the West. And I have three related thoughts for you here. Well, at least two and a half. Doubleday once published a book with the title Too Many Asians that would never fly today. The author argued that if humanity was to have a future, the West would have to see it to it that fewer Asians were born in the years ahead. This was 1959.
Wow.
Robbins was one voice in a chorus of think tanks, government aid organizations, international development specialists, environmentalists, zero growthers, doom mongers and do gooders who all saw population control as the cure for poverty. They go back to China in the 1960s and the poverty there. And all of the doomsayers in the West convinced Mao Zedong that the way to deal with poverty was population control, not economic growth, but population control. And so they instituted the one-child policy, which has finally borne the bitter fruit of a dying population. Now, as perhaps you heard, China has announced that its population actually shrank. And they go into the orthodoxy of the 1970s, Bill McGurn does. In 1977, I like this. Yet conspicuously absent was any recognition that the whole idea that Chinese moms having children threatened the country's prosperity was, like much like Marxism itself, a noxious Western import. That's no overstatement. In 1977, World Bank President Robert McNamara spoke in Al Gore-ish tones of apocalypse. Population growth, he said, was the gravest issue the world faced, short of thermonuclear war. It might even be more dangerous because population growth was not in the exclusive control of a few governments, but rather in the hands of literally hundreds of millions of individual parents. And then they go into the New York Times preaching how population growth must be stopped. And this orthodoxy was echoed by almost all of the experts of the day. The UN Fund for Population Activities, International Planned Parenthood Federation, the Club of Rome, the Population Institute, Paul Ehrlich, crackpot, Lester Brown, who was just quoted on 60 Minutes the other day. And others. While members of the Reagan administration pushed back, arguing that population growth wasn't the cause of poverty, they were attacked as idiots and yahoos. This one guy published a cartoon of a well-fed Ronald Reagan holding a world population policy banner above a sea bursting with impoverished people. Anybody who dared go against the orthodoxy was an idiot and a simpleton. Hello. One more note from that period. Paul, this is a quote from Paul Ehrlich, who was, again, on 60 Minutes the other day from 1967, I believe. It is already too late for the world to avoid a long period of famine, a Stanford University biologist said Thursday. Paul Ehrlich said the time of famines is upon us and will be at its worst and most disastrous by 1975. He said the population in the United States is already too big, that birth control may have to be accomplished by making it involuntary and by putting sterilizing agents into staple foods and drinking water, and that the Roman Catholic Church should be pressured into going along with routine measures of population control. This guy was for forced sterilizations, quoted here in the LA Times, by the way.
And was on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Held up as a sage. Really, you know, what strikes me is it sounds so much like the climate change talk. That's not
exactly.
That's not proof at all that the climate change talk is not real, obviously, but it sure sounds the same sort of way. It's too late to even reverse it at this point.
So you have the climate change talk. You have the argument over COVID and origins and vaccines. You have critical race theory, diversity, equity, and inclusion. If anyone dares go against the orthodoxy, they are ruined. They are silenced. They are canceled. And what I was leading up to, and unfortunately, we don't really have time to get into it, is this brilliant piece by Daryl Morey, whose credentials I can give you later, who is lecturing righteously his alma mater, MIT, that they have a serious free speech problem. And that one of the great research organizations on earth is committing suicide because they don't permit dissent. It's eloquent. It's brilliant. It's really good. And it's all a reminder that just because it seems like everybody thinks this doesn't mean you can't question it. You have to question it.
If you miss an hour, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty on demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters. Every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.